I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. She is famous for her probing one-on-one interviews, and she sits at the top of a massive media empire. No, we are not talking about Barbara Walters or Oprah Winfrey. We're talking about China's Yang Land. She's in Washington for a gathering of women leaders, and I get to turn the mic in her direction in a few minutes. But first, though, we turn to the environment and the rising levels of carbon emissions around the world. Last year's Copenhagen summit was supposed to bring a deal that would require nations to significantly cut the amount of carbon released into the atmosphere. But a deal binding a vast majority of the world's countries did not happen, much to the chagrin of EU Commission President José Manuel Barroso.
I will not hide my disappointment regarding the ambition in terms of the binding nature or the non-binding nature of the future agreement. In this particular point, the text agreed today falls far short of our expectations.
But this year, environmental activists decided to take a different tack. Instead of pushing governments to do something, they are trying to do it themselves. A group called 350.org is organizing more than 7,000 events in 188 countries this Sunday. On the calendar, that's 10-10-10. The three countries with the biggest carbon footprints are India, China, and the United States. And so we've called upon representatives from each to join us to talk about the 10-10-10 rallies. From Mumbai, we're joined by Bijal Vasharajani. She is the South Asia coordinator of the global event. Jiaying Cheng joins us from Beijing. She is the China co-coordinator. And from the U.S., we are joined by the Reverend Alan Jenkins of Earth Covenant Ministry in Atlanta, Georgia. And I welcome you all and thank you all so much for joining us.
Hello.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
So, Bijal, let me start with you. What are some of the events that will be going on in India?
Starting with Bombay, we're having cycle rallies, tree plantation drives, and cleanup actions by children, teenagers, and young adults. In Rajasthan, there are villagers who are going to hop on bicycles and go from village to village, talking about climate change and how it impacts them. In Bangalore, we're going to have children hitting the streets and performing street plays. So there's going to be lots of actions in India for sure.
Okay. And Jiaying, what about in China? What are some of the activities that will be going on there?
We have some big events in Beijing and Hong Kong. In Beijing, we're having the Great Green Race. So we'll have teams collecting garbage around the city, and we're going to be making live art sculptures with them. And then in Hong Kong, we have flash mobs that happened already in the beginning of the week to collect styrofoam boxes. And we're going to be installing one of the largest recycled art sculptures that Hong Kong's ever seen. In Guangdong, we have an environmental concert. In Hainan, we've got three-part drama on climate impacts. And in Anhui, we have some eco-fashion shows that are going to be happening.
Eco-fashion show. That sounds like something I would want to come to. Reverend Jenkins, what about you? What are some of the events that are happening in Atlanta and just perhaps a couple of others in the United States?
Well, all over the country, we've got events. Here are we as the largest carbon emitter, the United States. But we've also got one of the strongest grassroots movements growing. And so we are going to have solar panel installation projects. We've got bicycle rallies. We've got groups who are creating bicycle lanes. And here in Atlanta, we are specifically organizing with the faith communities, and we are doing a weatherization project on a church building on Sunday.
Well, Reverend Jenkins, pick up on that. You mentioned that the U.S. has, of course, the largest carbon footprint, and as you also no doubt know, that there's also been increased skepticism being expressed around the effect of carbon emissions on the global atmosphere. You see not just in the United States, but a lot of it in the United States. So what do you make of that? And skepticism? And secondly, is that something you're also pushing against?
Well, of course we're pushing against the skepticism. And we are astounded, we are frustrated by this increasing so-called debate about the reality of climate change. Our critique and understanding of that is that we have not mobilized effectively the grassroots to counter the strong lobbyists representing the fossil fuel industry. And that's why we believe that both the events, the Copenhagen meeting that you referred to earlier, and perhaps coming up here in Cancun, this meeting coming up this fall, that talks have been stifled and slowed because our representatives are hearing that louder voice coming from a well-funded fossil fuel lobby.
And so in part, you feel that this effort this weekend is one of the ways that you can let political leadership know that there's a whole other perspective on the other side.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. They may outfund us, but we are on the move and trying to create possibilities that people are increasingly concerned and are grasping the urgency of reducing our carbon emissions drastically within the next 10 years.
Once again, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin. We're talking about rallies and other events that are being held around the world this weekend on 10-10-10. This Sunday, all focused on grassroots efforts to decrease carbon emissions. And I'm speaking to representatives, activists from the U.S., India, and China about what's going on in their respective countries. Bijal Vasharajani is the South Asia coordinator of the event in India. Bijal, you know, I wanted to ask this, and I'm going to ask Jiang Ying this question also. A lot of people might say, well, that's great that you're trying to raise awareness, but a lot of people feel that this is an issue for people who already have everything that they need. And they'll say, well, I'm not interested in talking about how I can do with less. I'll talk about this when I have, you know, a car and a fridge, and I can be cool when I want to be cool and warm when I want to be warm. Are you experiencing any kind of that resistance where you are working, and what do you say to that?
Actually, that's interesting because that's the one thing that we're not facing. A lot of our events that are being conducted across India are happening in rural India. So we have farmers and a lot of people who are going to be impacted directly by climate change and who are being impacted by climate change. I think they're also realizing that it's in India's interest to move towards a low-carbon future as well.
Jiayin Cheng, you're the China co-coordinator in Beijing. What about you? Are you getting any of that resistance?
Well, I think working with the youth, we actually see a lot of enthusiasm for working towards climate solutions. And I think also we really want to inspire youth to think out of the box, right? To think outside of what the mainstream media might be telling them and think about new possibilities and engaging with problems that are happening all over the world. So really trying to challenge, you know, these more maybe superficial values that media might be sending to the youth.
Wait a minute, hold on a second. I'm sorry. Yeah. I have to push back on this. The fact is the stated policies of a number of these countries are that they're not going to sacrifice economic growth for the sake of an issue which they feel that they did not create. So I guess I'm sort of challenging you in the argument that this is simply a media construct that people, you know, want to experience the benefits of economic growth, and that sometimes is perceived as fighting against the challenge of addressing climate change. I mean, do you really honestly believe that that's simply a media issue?
Well, I mean, I don't know. Like, I think in terms of, we were talking about getting rich, does that mean we have to be polluting the environment? Some of the richest people in China are actually people who are doing a lot of the renewable energy work in China, and people who are really starting up like enterprises that are in solar, that are in energy efficiency, and they're doing really well. So I don't think it's sort of a mutually exclusive thing. I think the two, economic development and protecting the environment, can go hand in hand, and it's been proven here in China.
Okay, but what then do you attribute the resistance that we're seeing on the part of governments to commit to bolder action?
Well, actually, I just came back from the negotiations in Tianjin, and I from what I'm seeing, I think a lot of the negotiators are stalling on deciding on a way to decide, like, to make decisions, rather than really acting like to make decisions on what might happen in Cancun and the COP16 negotiations later on. So right now, I really see that it's sort of a political thing, waiting to see who's going to go first, and maybe just reluctance to take the first step.
Okay. Abhijit, what about you? Are you feeling that in your lifetime you will see sort of significant progress being made on curbing carbon emissions globally?
Let's put it like this, that we are hoping that we will, because come back to India, for instance, right now our Ministry of Environment is clamping down on a lot of issues and policies which we never thought would happen. For example, Jairam Ramesh, who is our Minister of Environment, is substantially powerful and he's making great headway in terms of trying to get green issues to the forefront. And maybe, if we start implementing solutions on a local level, we can see that it will spread on towards a policy level as well.
And Reverend Jenkins, a final thought from you. What do you think? I know you said you're frustrated now by what you're seeing in this pushback against even the concept that climate change matters or that carbon emissions matter. But overall,
sure,
how are
sure.
you feeling? Well, optimistic, pessimistic?
Well, you're right in pointing out that I've said earlier that I am frustrated on that general level. And certainly as far as our representatives from the United States in these global climate change talks. So I'm frustrated at that level. But I wouldn't be here today if I were not encouraged and hopeful by the response that I'm seeing here in Atlanta. We're seeing that the groups that we're reaching out to, the communities of faith from Jewish, Islam, Christian communities, they are responding with hope and with action. They are taking action to reduce their carbon footprint. We're moving to the alternative transit Sunday to worship, for example. And they are writing letters to our congressmen. And we're also pushing for a straight carbon tax. So we're involved both at the personal and community of faith level, but we're also getting our voice heard in Washington.
Reverend Alan Jenkins is the founder of Earth Covenant Ministry in Atlanta, Georgia. He joined us from Georgia Public Radio. Bijal Vasharajani is the South Asia coordinator of the global event. She joined us from Mumbai. And Jiaying Cheng is the China co-coordinator, and she joined us from Beijing. And I thank you all so much for speaking with us.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.